You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello. Welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox. And with me, as always, my friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, bro?
Well, what's going on? It's Tuesday morning. I was really excited last night. I was like, I'm wondering, could Raw be possibly as bad as it was last week? I was happy that it wasn't. And then I woke up this morning to some shocking news that's not wrestling related.
And are we talking about the Urban?
Yes.
Man, Urban Meyer. Yeah, kind of shocking, right?
Yeah. It's like, I've never been an Urban Meyer fan just because he was a coach in Florida and I'm a Florida State fan. So the biggest, best thing he ever did for me is leave Florida. But that being said, you know, he had that whole controversy with his assistant coach and Ohio State stood behind him. And, I mean, then his team only lost one game and he won the Big Ten title. So I was like, but I think this was a way to present a front that, you know, that the school wasn't in trouble. They let him go ahead and finish the season. He had a, you know, by everybody's standard, a very successful season. So that was good. And he went out a winner, and they can move on, you know, and try to get that stigma that he left earlier this year.
Oh, so you think he's kind of being kind of pushed out the back door?
I definitely believe that.
Oh, okay. That's a good theory. See, I did not, and I'm not just playing devil's advocate here. I really didn't. I just kind of thought that was all, you know, kind of past them. I was surprised that he retired, though, because, and I looked this up, you know, he's, I knew he had signed an extension, and his contract is good through 2022, and the guy made $7 million for this year's season.
He was third highest paid coach in college football,
behind Nick Saban and who's the other one?
Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, at A&M.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They gave him
okay.
a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So I mean, it does that is a good theory because I was just, you know, he left Florida because of health problems, right? Like he had a minor heart attack due to stress and something else. Or, I mean, it might have just been a heart attack due to stress, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was working like 80 hours a week.
Right, right. And he said the culture to win down there was unlike anything he had ever seen. Takes a few years off, goes up to Ohio State, brings him a national championship, multiple trips to the playoffs, right? Multiple Big Ten championships.
Yeah.
He beats Michigan. He was up there 7 years. Did he beat Michigan 7 times? I know he's beat him the last 4 that Harbaugh's been there.
Yeah, I think he beat him every time.
Yeah, so his overall win record was 80, it was like 80-something and 9, 82 or 86-9. He never even lost 10 games in 7 years. So yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about the domestic violence issue that his assistant coach had. But that would kind of give a plausible reason of why he's retiring now that you mentioned that. So,
yeah, and he has a graceful exit. You know, they Ryan Day's in charge, you know, and, you know, he made a lot of money. 7 years, he averaged $7 million. He made $50 million in 7 years, so I doubt he's starving, you know.
Right,
and
right.
And, you know, he's kind of a god in Ohio State. I doubt he ever pays for a meal ever.
Yeah, he's drinking free coffee the rest of his life up in, I forgot the name of that. What's the name of that town that Ohio State's at?
Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus. I mean, hell, he's the one that petitioned, you know, people to come out and see the red and white game or whatever they call it up there, the practice game where 100,000 people showed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know we call it red and white game down here. I forget what they call it up there. They might call it the red and white game, but basically it's
probably the scarlet and gray game.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that. You know, where it's, you know, offense versus defense, basically. You know, it's basically an open practice to the fans. But yeah, so I guess it doesn't hurt your feelings that Urban Meyer's gone. Like you said, being a Florida State fan and him having that tradition at Florida.
He had a hell of a run in Florida.
Yeah, he won the 2008 national championship, which was against us. Was against Oklahoma. So, yeah. You know, we both kind of have, you know, a bit of a bitter history with Urban Meyer. And he's kind of that guy you love to hate. You know, and he came down here 2 years ago and beat us in our home stadium. And then the following year, Baker goes up there, puts them to bed, and then plants the OU flag on the 50-yard line. So, you know, the last decade has been kind of sprinkled with Urban Meyer throughout my football fandom. So, but yeah, man, he's a great coach. Hate to see him go. He's kind of like the Derek Jeter. You know, you'd love to hate him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The big thing with him is, you know, it was funny because I've always talked about how when I was younger, I kind of wanted to be a coach. He was like my favorite coach. He was like, I had learned, you know, I had been studying what he had done at Bowling Green and then what he had done in Utah. And it was like, man, I would love to have him as a coach. And then he signs with the team I hate the most.
And you're like, forget I ever said that.
Yeah, that never happened.
I hear you, man. The next topic I wanted to touch on real quick before we go into reviewing Raw is for the people that follow us on Instagram, you'll see that I posted a question late last night, early this morning about All Elite Wrestling and what the chances are that people think that this promotion will actually come to fruition. And if it does, will it be truly successful if they don't go on TV, if they just try to use an online presence to spread? And as soon as you and I started doing our little pre-show chat over coffee early this morning, you said that you had a little theory, and I was like, whoa, hold up, surprise me on the air. So I want to hear, what's your theory about All Elite Wrestling? What's your thoughts on it? Can they be successful? Will they be on TV? What you got for me, Floyd?
Well, Cody has once stated, as you know, I follow Cody on Twitter. No one would be surprised to find that out.
Right.
And he said it's going to be the way bigger than anyone thinks.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
He says, you know, that's going to be like what ends up it being is going to be way bigger than anyone thinks. So I came up with this, and it's like the pieces fall together if you think about it. I think All Elite Wrestling, in January, they're going to announce that All Elite Wrestling acquires ROH and Impact, and then they're going to combine the rosters into All Elite Wrestling.
What? Wow.
With a working agreement with New Japan.
Wow. So you think your theory is, and now did you come up with this completely on your own, or did you?
Completely on my own. Okay. I started, you know, this is complete speculation. I have not heard this anywhere.
I got
the
you.
The reason I came up with it is they would need to be able to keep these discussions hush-hush, right?
Right.
They can't, you know, no one can know about it. So they do the trademark thing in October, right?
Okay.
Don Callis is best friends or close friends with Chris Jericho, right?
Okay.
He's been spending a lot of time with Callis, who is the main guy in Impact Wrestling.
Right, right.
So if they wanted to negotiate that sale, Jericho could handle it without anyone knowing what's going on.
Right. Well, yeah, theoretically, if Don Callis is, like, given autonomy, you know what I mean, as far as power to make that. I mean, Don Callis, you're right. Don Callis could absolutely, like, get a number from Jericho and quietly take it to the owners of Impact. You're totally right.
Cody is one of the headliners with ROH.
Right, right.
All
right.
So he could quietly do that.
Yeah, take it to Sinclair. You're right. I see your point.
Cody likes to do, he kind of likes to swerve you. He keeps saying it's his last match with ROH. Keep saying that. I'm not booked for the March show, all that kind of stuff. Or the April show. Yeah, the April show. I'm not booked for that show, that kind of thing. I think it's all leading up to, no, I didn't sign with ROH. I signed with All Elite Wrestling, and we bought ROH.
That's a good theory, man. I mean, I can see it.
Only way you're going to compete is combining.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you're not offering what WWE's offering, everybody's eventually going to go there anyway.
Right.
So
what would they actually be buying if they buy Impact, though? I mean,
they will be buying the tape library and, like, you know, you got, like, Eli Drake, you got Moose, you got LAX. Those are all, you know, I mean, LAX is one of the biggest tag teams in the world. Young Bucks going to need somebody to feud with.
Okay.
Pentagon, you know, they'll have Pentagon and Rey Fénix.
Okay.
You know, because they work with Impact. And like I said, it's just the one thing you need to compete with the WWE. You know, you need a lot of money, but you need a roster. You need a roster of people that only work for you.
Right. I like it, man. I like your theory.
I mean, it might be complete bullshit, and it might not actually happen. But it's, like, fun to think about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speculation is one of the funnest things when talking about something like this. What about the second part of the question? Do you have a theory on them chasing some sort of TV deal, or do you think that they will try to use their large online presence? And when I say that, I mean the Young Bucks and Cody's large online presence to somehow stream a weekly show or what? What's your theory on that?
Oh, no, I think they're going to either get WGN or Access.
Access TV, like what, yeah. New Japan's on?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think they're
going to
do something like that. And that way, like, when New Japan is like, they won't even think of it as competing. It would be more of, you know, working together, you know?
Right.
That's the big thing. It's just, that's the big thing you got to think of. You can't think of, you know, if you're going to compete with the WWE, you have to do something differently than the WWE. You're not going to out WWE.
Right.
The best way to do that is to work together.
Yeah, I can see it. It's a good theory.
Yeah, I mean, and you would have the largest collection of talent other than the WWE.
Right, right. I like it. I like it a lot.
And then you have the whole thing where, you know, you have some contracts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have, you got the Finn's contract that's coming up. He hasn't renewed. You got Gallows, Anderson, you know, Shinsuke. If you could sign any of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those would be big signings. And if you could somehow convince Punk to, you know, work with you again.
Man, that would be a true get right there. I don't see it happening, but if anybody's going to be able to do it, it would probably be Cody and the Young Bucks, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being so done with, you know, wrestling like CM Punk is, and then you have three young guys with a great vision and, you know, this promise of make your own schedule, wrestle the way you want to wrestle, do what you want to do, and have fun. and make a lot of money, you know, that could revitalize anybody's view of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I think the autonomy is what would appeal to Punk.
Right, right.
So like, you're like, hey, you know what? You don't have producers. You know, we can build up the matches that you want to build. You know, you can work the guys that you want to work. You don't have to, you know. And you know, you have your different weekly shows, and, you know, the Young Bucks are very out. Excuse me. The Young Bucks are very, you know, forward-thinking, and Cody is always, you know, he's the more traditional type. So you get a little bit of everything, and it's just like, I just think it would be, they would present a product that no one's ever seen before. And if people ask, will they compete with the WWE? In this market, there is room for a solid number two. WWE and WCW ran side by side for years. The only reason, if WCW went to Tuesday nights, they'd still be a company now. What they did, the problem was they made people choose.
Yeah, I mean, that is one. Yeah, I can see
they
that.
Made people, it was the Monday Night Wars because you had to choose. Just think at how hot wrestling was. If you could just watch Raw on Monday night and then Nitro on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is a theory that if they did not go head-to-head, then, you know, there would not have been as hot of a competition because, you know, they would have gotten all of, you know, they would have gotten a pretty good number as far as ratings for a little bit anyway, just because it was pro wrestling. You know what I mean? The fact that they made people choose and they were in like a hot debate and always doing swerves and stuff like that, that kind of is what got wrestling so hot at that time. So I kind of see that there was a need to go head to head at some point, you know, for a while, if that makes sense.
But yeah, it's just like, but you could run a second company to me, and you can, that's all I'm saying is that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I agree.
You could run a second company, and, you know, me and you are going to watch both shows.
Yep.
I'm not going to pick. You know, I can watch both if they're not going to, because one of the shows that they did was like Tuesday night. I forgot what it was going to be called, but like, it's like Tuesday Night Titans or something like that. But
but
that being said, it's just going to be, it'll be fun, and you won't have to worry about, you watch Raw on Monday, you can watch their show on Tuesday, and then SmackDown's going to be on Friday.
Yeah, and all the NXT shows are going to be on Wednesdays, right? NXT and NXT UK?
Yeah, you're going to have wrestling every day. And that's why I think it's not a big deal that Impact hasn't signed a TV deal.
Yeah.
There's no reason to panic because they're going to join into this company.
Right, right. I actually read somewhere, someone said, had some speculation that Impact might be trying to go somewhere else besides Pop TV. And so I even read somewhere, I can't remember what kind of source it was, but some people said that Travel Channel had some interest. But it also makes sense, you know, if they're not signing, because maybe they're, you know, possibly selling out. You know what I mean? Anything could happen. I do like the theory that you posed there. It's a pretty good theory.
My big thing, if I was WWE and you're trying to take over the world of wrestling,
uh-huh,
I'd offer to Impact a TV deal.
Yeah.
That would be my thing. I mean, if this whole All Elite thing, if my thing doesn't come through and All Elite needs somewhere to watch, and you got a Thursday, then they come on Thursday night, which you don't have anything on Thursday, they're not expensive. Throw them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I see your point. I totally see your point.
But I'm just like, WWE, to me, it's like the best thing you can do is like end up being your own competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you make this one like TV 14, or you got to have the parental controls to watch the Impact show, because that's more than likely what they're going to have to do with Progress and the other companies that are apparently going to end up on the network eventually. Is they're going to have those type of parental controls and just, you know, air a more mature wrestling product.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. Before we go into Raw today, I have to give a friend of mine a shout-out, Floyd, my boy Derek Teeter. So Derek works for Wrestling for a Cause in Tulsa. He actually lives in Missouri, and him and I have started doing the setup at Wrestling for a Cause in early in the morning on show day. We set up the ring and set up the chairs and the curtains, the backstage area and everything. And then he is training through Wrestling for a Cause. And I seen him working through some front bumps and stuff on Saturday. So it looks like he's a little bit further along than I am in training right now. But the reason I wanted to give him a shout out is because he says he's been listening to the show, and me and him talked a little bit at length about mine and your show when we talked about paying your dues and stuff. And he said that there were so many times that he heard me and you talking, and he wanted to chime in so bad because he wanted to give his point of view. So I told him that here pretty soon he's got to come on the show so we can talk about paying dues and stuff, because, man, I did not realize this because I just recently learned that he lives in Missouri, right, Floyd? So he said that for every WFC show, he drives 6 hours one way to come set up the ring, train, work security, and then tear the ring, and then tears the everything back down. That's the dues he is paying. That's the dues that he's paying to get into the wrestling business.
And that's freaking awesome. I mean, I'm glad. I like to see that dedication.
Absolutely.
But like I said, it's just one of those things. It's like, and you know, that kind of stuff, that kind of free labor or inexpensive labor is what drives indie wrestling. You can't have indie wrestling without it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there, and I asked them, because when we were talking about this, Derek and I was like, is there not wrestling schools up there that are closer? And he said, yeah, but you know, this is the one that he wanted to go to. This is the way that he wanted to do it, and more power to him. Right. And, you know, like I was telling him, I was like, you know, it does, it kind of sucks that, you know, sometimes dues that have to be paid are so harsh and stuff, you know, some of the stuff that he has to do and that I have to do and stuff. But at the same time, like, I feel like it kind of gives you an appreciation for the business. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that anytime I want to get in the ring twice a week when I'm training, you know, I have to drive almost 100 miles, you know, to go to the academy. And then when I work, I have to drive almost 100 miles. I had to get there, you know, 9 hours before the show kicks off, and I had to set everything up. You know, like, it has given me a love and appreciation. It's brought me new friends, you know, and it's taught me a bunch of things, you know. Now, it at times it's like, man, I wish things were easier. But at the same time, you know, I want to be a professional athlete. So if this is the price that I have to pay to be a professional athlete, I think Derek and I will agree it's the price that I'm going to pay. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I did want to mention this, your December 16th show. I have a friend wrestling on it.
Do you?
Jenna Lynn is, I met her at WrestleMania, and I actually had an interview with her on my show. And she's going to be, they're going to be crowning a new women's champion.
You're referring to Heroes of Wrestling in Royce City, right?
Yes.
In Royce City, Texas. And I don't guess I've met her. What's her name again?
Jenna Lynn.
Jenna Lynn. Okay, so I will have to, you'll probably be at the show, right? You're going to come down.
That's what I was saying. I'm definitely going to be at the show, and I can see my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool, man. I love hearing stuff like that, and you know what I mean? Because wrestling is so small. Like, you know what I mean? You and I have just become friends, like, in the last year, and, you know, we've grown really close. We talk every single day. We do a show every single day on top of that, and then, you know, we slowly figure out that we have, like, these, you know, kind of distant mutual friends. Like, there's friends that you have that I've got to work with and stuff. Like, you know, it's just really cool, man. It's really, And then on top of that, you know, we have that connection where we both grew up watching, you know, we have similar memories growing up because we both watched the same product growing up. So it's just, it's really cool, dude. Wrestling has really, you know, brought us together in such a cool way, you know. But I definitely wanted to, I definitely just wanted to give my boy Derek a shout out. And I can't wait to have him on the show and talk about paying them dues together.
I look forward to it also because he'll, you know, I love unique perspectives.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Yeah, and I can't wait to meet your friend on December 16th. That'll be a cool, and that'll be a cool thing. We'll have Brian Pillman Jr. is coming into town
for that show as well.
Yeah, he's going to be wrestling. And I've told you this before, my dude, my one of my absolute favorite indie wrestlers, his name's Andy Dalton, Dirty Andy Dalton. He is absolutely phenomenal. Brian Pillman Jr. is absolutely phenomenal, so I cannot wait to see that match.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
And yes, and speaking of friends, we're about to review Raw, and I had multiple friends on Raw last night, man. Multiple coworkers that will also be at the show at Roy City December 16th for Heroes of Wrestling. And I will. Some of them were.
Are they asking the questions, or they're like the security guy? Or
both,
what?
Both. So yeah, oh. Well, security, not really security. The guys in the gas mask for Dean Ambrose. There was two of them there, and then one of them asked the very first question. Zach, he asked the very first question to Sasha and Bailey, and then Raquel. I don't actually know Raquel, but she is a classmate with some of these guys down at Booker T's school. So I don't know her personally, but I've heard them speak of her before.
Were they all pretty much from Booker T school?
Yes, except for Bryson Scott, Mr. Studtacular. He is not a member of Booker T school. He's a pro wrestler in Texas down in the San Antonio area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so and he's actually an Iraq War vet as well. So him and I have touched base several times at multiple different shows and talked about our time in the service together and stuff like that. He actually, this past weekend, he worked a show in, I forgot where it was. I think it was maybe around New Braunfels. But he worked a show that Comedy Central put on because they're doing a documentary on three guys that are former Iraq and Afghanistan war vets that are now professional wrestlers in the state of Texas, and Jordan Klepper, who was on The Daily Show and then had his own show on Comedy Central for a while, was actually at the event, and I want to say that Jordan Klepper took a table bump in the middle of the ring at the end of the show. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely awesome, and if I remember right, either that documentary or Jordan Klepper's reporting on the show will be on Comedy Central in some form or fashion. So I will see Bryson next weekend, and I'll get some information from him. And Floyd and I will put that out to everyone on social media and the show in a couple of weeks. So we'll definitely have the info on that. I think that's everything. So you ready to get into some Raw?
Yeah.
All right, dude. So I gotta know, what was your grade for Raw? And I heard you kind of compare it to last week's Raw, which was definitely a slump if you're looking at it in graph perspective. So, but how was this week's Raw?
I gave it a B. You got to see a lot of story progression, which is always important for me for any show. You did go into the further heeldom of Baron Corbin, which is good, and he's so good at being bad, and you start to see the development of the resistance.
The resistance!
Which is very important when you have a power character. You need that face that you're really getting over.
Right.
Yeah.
Real quick, we need to mention that we started off the show with a Tim Bell salute to the former president, George H.W. Bush, who was a Texas native. He was actually born in Connecticut, but was a congressman and maybe a senator in Texas as well. I can't remember. He also led the CIA. He was the leader of the CIA when President Kennedy was killed. vice president for 8 years from 80 to 88 under Ronald Reagan, and then president from 88 to 92 before losing re-election to Bill Clinton. I'm a huge, as y'all know, I'm a huge history buff, huge presidential buff. When it comes to, you know, the passing of anybody, you know, politics definitely should be put aside, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever. He was president. He gave his life, you know, he gave his entire adult life serving our great nation. So, you know, we will miss President George H.W. Bush. Thought it was really cool of WWE to give him a Tim Bell salute before the show started.
See, I work in the financial sector, and I found out something that I did not know. You know, I work IT in the financial sector. And I found out that there's not going to be trading on the stock market tomorrow.
Is that in, like, memory of...
Yeah, I think his funeral's tomorrow or something.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they're not doing stock market trading. And they do that anytime a president's... It's not a rule. It's kind of just, like, become a tradition.
Oh, well, that's really cool, though. You know, I hate that... You know, not that he passed away, but, you know, I mean, that's really cool that they pay respect to, you know, a passing president. You know, not trying to go all political and everything, but, you know, we're so divided as a nation right now that, you know, basically, you know, there's always a large portion of the country, you know, that is always like, oh, well, you know, he's a Democrat, screw him, or he's a Republican, screw him. But, you know, when it almost seems like when George H.W. Bush was president and, you know, and any time before that, you know, it seems like, you know, no matter what side of political affiliation you were on, you know, you still had respect for the person that was holding the office. So it's great to see them showing respect and basically shutting down the town, as you would say, you know.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, for his passing.
Like, it's like a... impromptu holiday for a lot of my people, because that's how we end up, you know, when you work in a financial company and no one's trading.
Yeah, there's not too much to do, right?
Yeah, it's
kind of
slow.
Yeah, I totally get that. So after the Tim Bell salute, we see the intro, the new WWE intro, and then we go right into tag team wrestling as we see Ronda Rousey being the first one to come out, followed by Natalya, Nia Jax, and Tamina. This match went really quick. Actually, I should mention that...
It was never actually a match, I don't believe.
Yeah, you're right. The Riot Squad came out carrying a table. They offer a distraction. Ronda Rousey starts getting double-teamed, and Natalya takes a table bump from all three members of the Riot Squad. So, yeah, I guess I don't know if the bell actually rang or what, but... yeah, it lasted less than 2 minutes altogether.
Yep, it was not my favorite thing, but I thought it was... You know what? I had one thing that I feared more than that match.
What's that?
I thought Ronda Rousey was about to cut a promo.
Ooh!
And she didn't, so I was happy.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I mean, it's like, you know, she had that really good promo, you know, and it was just like, it's like, don't get carried away,
yeah.
You know, and they got carried away.
I know what you mean. Basically, you know, I kind of felt like this was basically just an angle to allow Nia Jax to get some heat on Rousey, you know, leading into their... match at TLC, which could turn out to be a tables match since they brought out the table, you know, kind of signifying that maybe, you know, it might turn out not to be, but, you know, could turn
it's
out to be a
be
tables match.
No, that match, it was, I believe, I think they announced that it is a TLC match.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know. They might not have announced it.
Gotcha.
I know Braun and Baron Corbin is a TLC match. And I know Charlotte, Becky, and all of them are TLC match. It's crazy.
Yeah, I gotcha. We see Ronda helping Natalya backstage. Ronda gets Natalya some help. She makes her angry face. Yeah, more of that. Bliss comes out. Alexa Bliss comes out next. She talks about being in charge of the women's division. She was put there, and she uses the words general manager elect Baron Corbin. And she's good, man, she's good at getting heat on Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin ain't even having to do nothing, and he's getting more heat on him every day. She promises to work hard, but last week's open forum didn't go well, so she's good. Why not? We're going to do it again.
I even put that in the page. You remember that? I put that on the club. I'm like, remember that thing that didn't work last week? Let's do it again.
Yeah. She brings out Sasha Banks and Bayley. Bayley asked how long do they have to wait to get jumped this week, because, you know, last week they were jumped by Dana Brooke, Mickie James, and Alicia Fox. Questions get asked, and like I said, this was... the first question was asked by Zach Zilla, who is a member of Fly Def, which is a tag team coming out of Reality of Wrestling, which is Booker T's school in Houston. They actually were the ROW, Reality of Wrestling, tag team champions for a while, and now they are in a feud that will ultimately bring us the first ever Heroes of Wrestling tag team champions. It's Zach Zilla and Warren Jay. They're both members of the, are both graduates of the Reality of Wrestling school from Booker T, and they are both phenomenal wrestlers. You'll get to see them December 16th, man. They're really cool, man. I'll introduce you to them. They're super nice guys, great workers. I've asked them a couple questions in the past. They're really cool guys to learn from.
I am looking forward to that show a lot. Get to see Pillman, you know, actually get to see him work, you know, because I've only seen him on MLW. So I get to see him work in real life, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to do some post work for a match that he had in commentary, but I've only got to meet him the one time when me, you, and Ryan met him in Chicago. And thought he was super cool. Didn't you think he was super cool? Didn't you think?
I'm looking forward to that. Seeing him again is like, I'm really excited about that. Getting to see Jenna actually work, because, you know, when we met, we was just talking. I just met her as a fan,
right?
So I got to actually get to see her work, you know, in real life. I'm very excited about that. Get to see you work. Excited about
shizzle.
That. Yeah, so it's like being. That's what happens when you actually take off day every now and then.
When you ain't working 80 hours a week like the Floyd Mayweather. Where was I? So Dana Brooke, Mickie James, and Alicia Fox, they come down. They're going to attack Bayley and Sasha. Alexa Bliss, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied over here. Alexa Bliss stops them and puts them in a tag team match. Tells Dana Brooke to kick rocks. Mickie James, Alicia Fox stays for the tag team match. I actually didn't really take notes on this match. All I put down was Sasha Banks and Bayley defeat Mickie James and Alicia Fox.
It was basically extended, you know. Like, it was to get them over as a tag team. That was the point.
Oh, yeah, and I should have mentioned that. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because they mentioned they want to be the first women's tag team championship. Do you think that there's something to that?
Oh, it's definitely something to it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. If you had to speculate, when do you think that those announcements are going to come down, that there's going to be titles?
The title is going to happen at WrestleMania.
Oh, like they're going to crown the champion at WrestleMania? Champions?
That's what I think.
Oh, man, so that's 4 or 5 months away. That ain't far at all.
Yeah, I think they're going to crown the champions at WrestleMania. People are clamoring and asking for it. I still love the point. I think it would be too many titles, but... I mean, hopefully they give the women their own show soon.
Do you see that happening?
Oh, definitely. I just think WWE women would, you know, be the thing that I think that's the next logical step is them getting their own show.
Right, right. What do you think that if they got their own show, would there still be, first off, would there still be two women's champions, a Raw and a SmackDown, and two, would we still see women on Raw and SmackDown and their new show, or at that point would we just see all the women migrate over to their 1 or 2 hour weekly show only?
I think it'll be an hour show, and I think it'll be like at least to start, and then I think it'll be like 205 Live, where they'll be on their show, and then they'll still be on Raw and SmackDown.
Cool.
Because they can't take Ronda Rousey off of either one of those shows.
That's your point.
She's legitimately the biggest star in wrestling right now.
Yeah, definitely the biggest like current crossover star, wouldn't you say? Like she's the most household name that is, you know, wrestling weekly is to go along with what you're saying. I would definitely agree with you on that.
So she's as big as you can be. So yeah, they would not make it where she's not on TV every week.
Right, right. What day would they put this show on, man? We got wrestling on every single day.
Man, I think the smartest thing to do would to be like put it on like at, like right now you got UK, and once UK goes down to their 1 hour a week, they've been doing two. You got an hour there, be 205 Live, a women's show in UK all on Wednesday.
Oh, okay, I dig it.
You get 3 hours of TV on Monday, 3 hours of TV on Wednesday, 3 hours of TV on Friday.
Wow. Okay. I dig it. Next we see Alexa Bliss walking backstage. Ronda Rousey arrives to yell at her. Bliss sent the Riot Squad home and will deal with them next week. Ronda wants revenge on Tamina and Jax and will find a tag team partner to do so tonight. Then we take an inspirational look at Baron Corbin's rise to power. Then we see Baron Corbin meeting with Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. They want a rematch with AOP. Corbin says they can have a shot if Roode beats Drake Maverick tonight. And that means that Chad Gable and AOP are banned from ringside. Next we see Lucha House Party versus Scott Dawson. Now, I seen you make a post in our club Facebook group that you are the admin of, and you said that, if I remember right, you said that Lucha House Party is about to make you quit watching Raw?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Let me tell you.
Break it down for me, baby.
I legitimately don't mind Lucha House Party. I mean, I'm not a fan of any of the wrestlers. I don't think any of them stick out. I think they all come off as wannabe Rey Mysterios. That being said, the fact that they're pushing a face tag team and they had a singles match, and the singles match is a 3-on-1 handicap match. Mm-hmm. And you have Renee Young trying to push it as this is something that fans want. So I said, shit, alright, at pay-per-view, let's have the Riot Squad versus Natalya in a tables match. If 3-on-1 handicap matches are entertaining.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, to me, as a Lucha House Party, of course they're getting a check. I'm not going to say get your bag, get your money. I'm not going to lie. But it kind of diminishes them.
Mm-hmm.
You need three people to beat that one guy?
Especially when you can do 450 splashes off the, you know, off a springboard and man, that sit down, I don't even know what you would call it, but I don't even remember which one it was, but he springboard off the top rope, and then he, you know, touched on the top rope again with like his thighs, and then did like a cannonball flip into Scott Dawson on the ground. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, man, if you can do that, what do y'all need three people for?
Yeah, like I said, it's just, for me, it's like, I understand. I leave my reality at the door when I watch wrestling.
Right.
Well, how are they the good guys?
Yeah, I have no idea, man, because it's really, you know, it's hard to keep up with kayfabe in a situation like this, because you're like, what the heck is going on, man? Come on now.
Yeah, and it's just like, seriously, what I'm going to do is like I was doing like a few other weeks, I'm just going to watch Monday Night Football until Raw is over.
Yeah.
Then go watch Raw recorded. So I can skip that part.
Yeah, I understand.
Because they're trying to make the revival come off as whiny and traditionalist. This is not whiny and traditionalist. This is just fairness.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand. I really don't have much to say about the Lucha House Party versus Scott Dawson. It was a 3-on-1 match. There was a lot of cool moves and stuff, but you know, within the realm of kayfabe, you know, you can imagine what it was. Corbin meets with the backstage goof, who brings him a present for Drew McIntyre, and you hear him, he's just like, oh, he's gonna love this. Next we see Drew McIntyre appreciation night. Corbin comes out to run the segment. Corbin says he will be the permanent GM when Strowman forfeits at TLC. He, you know, kisses up to himself for a little while, and then he said he had some help from one special person. So tonight is Drew McIntyre appreciation night. We get a video package. McIntyre then comes out. Corbin thanks him for his work and support. He has a gift for him, and it's a special medal. You took out Kurt Angle, so now you are Raw's gold medalist. And here is the Raw Gold Medal of Excellence. McIntyre says he was just doing what no one else was strong enough to accomplish. He goes on to say when he arrived, guys were in the back playing video games. They had no fire in their heart, and they were retweeting fan compliments. He wanted to make Raw in his own image, and he did. I actually thought it was a real good promo by McIntyre.
Baron Corbin came off as especially douchey as possible.
Yep.
it is hilarious. Like, I had a friend who was like, we get an hour and a half of Baron Corbin, and they were like, I hate that guy. I was like, good Lord, he's doing his job.
So there is a bit of an argument within the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, on whether Baron Corbin is doing his job and getting heat, or is he not doing his job and he's attracting go-away heat? What's your take on it?
Oh, no, he definitely gets it heat.
So it's not go-away heat? Like, it's proper heel heat?
No, it's proper heel heat.
Gotcha.
It's proper douchebag, I want to see you get destroyed heat. I can't wait till Braun Strowman throws you around.
At this point, Dolph Ziggler arrives. Ziggler said that he thought they had an alliance, and he brought McIntyre to Raw. Ziggler didn't see himself in the video package and was apparently not invited. McIntyre says he wasn't invited because he doesn't meet the height requirement. McIntyre says he was the brains, muscle, and talent. Their relationship doesn't work for him anymore. Ziggler's role was to get McIntyre here, and he succeeded for once. McIntyre dismisses him, noting that he made Ziggler relevant for the first time in a decade. Ziggler attacks, hits the zigzag and bells. Corbin now books McIntyre versus Ziggler. It was nice to see McIntyre get some time to talk, I thought. I tell you, the only thing that I did not like about this whole thing was that, I mean, they could have done so much better on the McIntyre-Ziggler split, don't you think? Like, they could have, you know, won a big... Like, I would... Maybe this is better. Like, I guess this is just what I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, Ziggler and McIntyre to be celebrating a big victory somewhere, and then just out of nowhere, Ziggler turns around and gets hit with the Claymore kick. In your opinion, what do you think would have been better, like this or a surprise turn by McIntyre?
I like this.
So you like this?
Really,
okay.
Did push the whole Scottish psychopath, the fact that Drew McIntyre is the smartest guy in the room. It's like Dolph didn't even know he was being used. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, I see. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. And I do have to say that this is definitely different. It's not what I expected. You know what I mean?
And that's to you know me. That's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah. It's
like
a good point.
When you watched wrestling for 30 some odd years, you don't care if it's a bad unexpected, as long as it's unexpected.
Yeah. should we be prepared to watch Ziggler get buried once again in this feud?
I'm hoping not. I mean, I'm hoping they do a little better, but let's be honest. He's probably going to get buried.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would make sense. They're trying to get McIntyre over as like this hellacious heel, so I figure...
Yeah, he's going to have one of those Kurt Angle matches where he gets completely destroyed by Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, I figured. I mean, I will give it to him. They did give Ziggler 13 and a half minutes going head-to-head with Drew McIntyre today, but I think eventually there's probably going to be a pay-per-view match where Ziggler gets about a half dozen offensive moves in and McIntyre just destroys him, and it pretty much ends the feud. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler's such a good worker, and I remember he was told, some people told him he was really too good at selling. Stop being so good at selling, because if you're so good at selling, that's all they're going to have you do.
Right.
And a lot of people think that's why Dolph has kind of had that glass ceiling there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I get that. And to be honest, as I get further in my training, Dolph Ziggler is someone that I want to be able to emulate in regards to selling, because I think he's the best in the business at it.
He is, yeah, he's definitely there, him and Johnny Gargano.
True, true story.
Big thing with Johnny Gargano is he does use the exact same expression a little much for me, but hey, that works.
I gotcha. So Dolph Ziggler did pull out the win in 13 minutes and 30 seconds, but Finn Balor did come down, right?
Finn Balor came down, distracted Drew McIntyre so Dolph Ziggler could pick up the win.
Yep, yep. But I do like that, you know, it was a competitive match. It went 13 minutes, so it does give Dolph a little bit of legitimacy. But, you know, as you and I both kind of agreed on, we figure at some point there'll be a big pay-per-view blow-off and McIntyre will win decisively enough that it'll end the feud. That's our prediction anyway.
It might happen on Raw next week.
True.
They might wrestle next week and, you know, Baron will do the thing where he's like, everyone's banned from ringside, and Drew McIntyre just destroys Dolph Ziggler at that point.
Yep. Yep. I see that. I can see that. We see McIntyre going backstage. He promises to kill Dolph and says Finn Balor is a marked man. Next, we get Elias. We get Babyface Elias, man. You still liking Babyface Elias, or did you like heel Elias more?
No, I like Babyface Elias more. It makes sense. Yeah. When they chant it, you can walk with Elias and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I will admit, and we talked about this last week, as a matter of fact, you and I, but I did like it better when he was attacking the cities and stuff, but, I mean, you're as far as a kayfabe standpoint, it does make more sense that he's a babyface. He's been searching for Lashley so he can wrap a guitar around his head or something like that. He knows Lashley is afraid, but before he can play his tune, Leo Rush and Lashley interrupt him. Leo Rush, still one of my favorite people in wrestling, by the way. God, he's so good on the mic. Leo Rush says that Lashley will dominate Elias at TLC and praises how great Lashley is and how great Lashley poses. Elias gets ticked off and charges Lashley. Lashley cuts him off, but Elias slams Lashley into the LED board. I think he chases Leo I think he chased them both away, right? Finn Balor grabs Leo, tosses him back on stage, and Elias, what is that? Did he give him the,
A guitar shot.
Yeah, the guitar shot. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. I couldn't remember if that's when he hit him with the guitar or not, because I didn't put guitar shot in my notes like there. It does kind of make sense that Finn Balor and Elias are coming together, right? Because they've had issues with, they've both had issues with these guys at different times. So for them to come together and like team up to like take care of the thorn in their side, that's, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, I said this was a 2018 version of Sting's Dudes with Attitude.
What is that? That was Sting's Dudes with Attitude.
It was a back in the day. I was watching What Culture. They were called factions that you probably forgot about. And one of them was Sting's Dudes with Attitudes. It was like Sting and Rick Steiner. It was five crazy people, but they were put together to combat the Four Horsemen.
What era was this? Like, do you remember the year?
Early '90s.
Yeah, it sounds
early
like
'90s. Yeah.
Before we got Crow Sting, right?
Yeah. Definitely before Crow Sting.
I gotta Google it now, man. I gotta Google it after this.
Yeah,
show.
If you go to What Culture. And you, they just did it. It was like a fairly new one because I watch a lot of their videos, especially when I'm bored.
Right.
It was 10 factions that you probably forgot of.
I gotta check it out. Next we get Jinder Mahal. He's telling Balor, or he's telling Corbin that he wants to take out Balor for him tonight. Baron Corbin then meets with Slater and Rhino. Crap, I forgot I was gonna bring this up at the top of the show, and I totally forgot. But he meets with Slater and Rhino and says that he crunched numbers and one of them has to go. He says one of them can quit and save the other. Slater says he has kids and can't quit, so they book a match between the two of them and the loser is fired. So, let's just go ahead and talk about that real quick. So they have a match. It's a real short match. Heath Slater beats Rhino, and over the commercial break, Rhino actually announces to the live crowd that he retires. Did you read that?
Yeah, I did read that.
So do you have a favorite Rhino moment that you can think of off the top of your head?
All my favorite Rhino moments include Joey Styles calling the gore.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have a specific, that's kind of what I was going to go with too. I didn't have a specific one. It was just like any gore through the table in ECW, right?
Yeah, and it's like, Gore, you sound like he was having a heart attack when he was getting that move over. And I was like, I always said the move wasn't that spectacular, but Joey Ryan calling it, Joey Styles calling it, got that move over.
I agree. I totally agree. I hope my goal in life is to one day, just one day, I hope a podcast is reviewing some show that I'm on sometime. And I get to hear someone say, you know, hey, the move wasn't all that great, but this commentator, dude, he sold it so well that it made me believe. I could die a happy man if I heard someone say that.
Yeah, he definitely got that move over.
Yeah, I agree. We'll talk about the Slater and Rhino match here in a second. First up, we got Bobby Roode versus Drake Maverick. With Chad Gable and AOP are banned from ringside. If Roode wins, him and Chad Gable get the title shot. I guess Bobby Roode only owns one robe because he came out without a robe tonight. Because if you remember, was it last week when Drake Maverick stole his robe and then urinated on it? Was that last week?
Yes, but if it's an authentic Ric Flair style robe, Ric Flair, it was very clear. He's been always very clear. They cost about $10,000 per robe.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have more than one either.
Man, you know, speaking of that real quick, you know, he gave several of those away, and I guess one of them randomly popped up, like, for sale or something, and I think, what is his name? What's his son-in-law's name that you and I met?
Conrad.
Yeah, Conrad. So I guess Conrad has bought one or two of them that have showed up over the years and gave them back to Rick, and then Rick gives them and has and gives them to Charlotte so Charlotte can have them redone for her, you know. But I guess they're still looking for one. They don't know where if he gave it to somebody. He don't know if it was stolen or what. And I can't remember which one it is. But if you look up Conrad on Twitter, it was probably 2 months ago, he posted a picture of Rick wearing one of the robes. And he's like, if anyone ever hears where this might be, you let me know because I'm going to buy someone a new car. Because apparently the last one that he found that Rick had either given away or got stolen and ended up in someone's attic or something like that, I think Conrad paid like $30,000 for it. So can you imagine, like, not trying to be gross or anything, but imagine like if you had an aunt that was kind of wild back in the 80s and hooked up with Flair and somehow made out with this robe or something and has kept it in her attic for the last 30 years, and then all of a sudden you run across it, and Conrad's like, I'll give you $35,000 for it.
Yeah.
Would you sell it, or would you keep it?
I wouldn't. Me, personally, I wouldn't sell it.
Man, that thing would be on display in my house, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'd be on display in my house, and then after I passed away, it would, like, I would leave it back to the Flair family.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm the only hardcore wrestling fan in my family. So,
I got you.
I would give it back to him, but while I'm alive, I'm keeping it.
Now, if anybody knows, if I messed up that story in any way about Conrad and the missing robes, feel free to write in and correct me. I'm not saying that story is 100% accurate. I've just kind of pieced that together a little while back, and I can't remember. There was a day that me and you were going to talk about it, and something ended up happening, and we kind of bumped it off the show and never talked about it again. Yeah, so there's still at least one robe that Conrad is looking for, and I truly hope that they find it, you know what I mean? Because it's such a shame if, you know, that's just sitting somewhere, just wasting away, not being used or not being on display in a museum or something, you know?
You know, some guy stole it. He's married. He passes away. His wife doesn't even know he has it. It's just in his stuff, and she hasn't felt like going through it.
Right. Or it could have been a female, because I know Flair has said on his original Woo Nation podcast, which was with Conrad, he said that he had given at least one or two of them away to women that he had hooked up with in the 80s and 90s. Like, he would be drunk and just be like, here, take this robe. It's only $10,000. I got 10 more of them.
And he was horrible with money.
Oh, yeah, dude. He was making $750,000, you know, from back in the Jim Crockett days, JCP promotion days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He should have millions.
Like a million and a half.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to get back here. So, anyway, sometime during this match, Baron Corbin comes out and he makes it a 3-on-2 handicap match, which is AOP and Drake Maverick versus Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
No, there are no longer 3-on-2 handicap matches. This match was AOP and Drake Maverick in a Lucha House Party rules match.
Oh, God.
Against Gable. There was no handicap. This is just Lucha House Party rules. Now that you see why it makes no sense?
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, I'm supposed to hate the bad guy for beating him up 3-on-2, but there was a 3-on-1 match earlier with the good guys, and I'm supposed to cheer that on?
Yeah, that's true, man. I agree. Again, I say this every week, but you know it's bad, and you know it doesn't make sense if we're complaining about it. Because we give WWE the benefit of the doubt on this show more so than any other show I can think of.
I am called a WWE apologist more times than anything. It's just when you have stuff that is this blatant. You literally had a Lucha House Party rules that was 3-on-1, and now you got 3-on-2. And I'm supposed to hate the AOP for having an unfair advantage and Baron Corbin for giving them an unfair advantage when the good guys had an unfair advantage and I was supposed to like them. I'm not even overthinking it.
Yep.
This is you presenting it.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was downright horrible. I think I put the time on here. Let's see. Yep, the match went 3 minutes and 31 seconds. AOP and Drake Maverick win by pinfall. Moving on. So next we get the Dean Ambrose arrives. First off, however, we get like a nuclear, what would you call it? Like a nuclear sound? Like a nuclear fallout sound?
Sirens.
Siren, yeah. Nuclear fallout siren or whatnot. That was the front two people. I do believe they were the front two guys. The one, if you're looking at the guys as they're walking to you, you know, like the camera was. The guy on the left in the front was Bryson Scott, Mr. Studtacular, and the one on the right was Will Alday. Will Alday is the Lone Star champion, the Heroes of Wrestling Lone Star champion. He just had a phenomenal his last man standing match will be airing Thursday on Facebook Live against Brock Baker. He's phenomenal. Both of them phenomenal athletes. And then Mr. Studtacular is from San Antonio. He's the one that did the show with Comedy Central and Jordan Klepper this past weekend. So both Heroes of Wrestling wrestlers on Raw right there. After they come out, Dean Ambrose arrives. The Riot Squad dudes accompany him down to the ring. Everyone's wearing gas masks. Let's see. He pretty much talks trash to Seth. He runs down the city of Houston. He says the fans are all diseased. He takes off the mask at one point. He says enough stuff to get Seth Rollins riled up. Seth comes through the crowd, right? Didn't he come like over by the timekeeper?
Mm-hmm.
He come through that little that little door that they have over there. He destroys some of the guys. I don't know what to call them, like the Riot Squad guys.
Security guards.
Security.
Security
is probably the best word. Yeah. He destroys some of them. Him and Ambrose get into it. Ambrose finally gets the better of them. I think at one point he like referred to himself as WWE's moral compass.
Yeah.
He even said at TLC he's going to make Seth Rollins lose control of everything, including the IC title. That was I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's what he said. He says the title will fall safely into my hands. Like I said, Rollins showed up, beats a few guys up. Him and Ambrose get into it. Ambrose hits the Dirty Deeds on the floor, then stands tall. The Riot crew rolls Rollins back into the ring. Ambrose hits Dirty Deeds again. Once he took the gas mask off, I thought what he was saying was good. I thought obviously it was kind of muffled trying to hear him talk through the gas mask into the microphone. But once he took the mask off, I thought Ambrose did a good job at getting his point across. What did you think about the segment?
I agree with that. I agree with him doing, I thought he did a really good job of getting over that part. And I just thought he cut a good promo, and I feel like the lunatic fringe actually came out in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, man. This is something that we talk about every week, and I'm going to get your opinion yet again on it. So they asked, and when I say they, it was mostly Corey Graves. They ask, you know, hey, what is Dean Ambrose doing? He's asking Renee, and she has no answers, and you can tell she actually gets a little ticked off at Corey for kind of invading her the privacy of her marriage. Do you still like that? Because I know in the past we've both talked about how we like how they're actually asking Renee about it, and Renee's like, I don't have an answer for you. I'm sorry, he won't talk to me about it.
Yeah, I like how she stands up for him, and I am mostly, in this case, I liked mostly the fact that she told him, what we discuss in our house is our business.
Yes.
Like, basically, screw off.
Yes, exactly, yeah. She was, in so many words, she was kind of like, you know, hey, that's private.
Yeah, Like, right? And like, she never disagrees with him. She never says he does anything wrong. It's awesome.
Yes, yeah,
that's,
I love
that's
it.
How people should be. It's just like, you know, like, I might, like, my girl, I might do some asshole shit to somebody, right? And she might tell me in privately that I did some asshole shit. But publicly, she's going to have my back. And I was right.
Gotcha.
That's how a marriage should be.
Gotcha, gotcha.
If you disagree, disagree later. But for now, have my back.
Next, we get Tamina and Nia Jax backstage. They're informed that Ember Moon will be teaming up with Ronda Rousey tonight. I should have seen this coming because she is from Houston, right? Or at least she's trained with Booker down there.
Let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
There was a bunch of speculation in our group chat about who it would be. And I was like, man, I wonder who's going to be. And a friend of mine, William, said, it's not going to be anyone interesting. And I was like, and then I thought, and I was like, that is right. And then immediately said, it's going to be Ember Moon. She's
really?
From Houston. She's got beef with Tamina and Nia. It makes sense, and it's super boring, WWE style. They don't generally worry about the W. They don't really generally worry about the make sense part, but it's super boring. So they make this thing about her finding a partner. She's literally the only woman on the roster that hasn't worked.
True. Yeah, it makes sense.
So it's like, it wasn't like she had a lot of choice.
Right, right.
So she picks Ember Moon, and I was like, yep, that's a boring.
Yep, makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, Ember Moon's character, I will tell, if anyone out there loves Ember Moon's character, I will tell you, congratulations, go with God. I don't get it.
That's going to be a whole show on its own. It's going to be a whole show on its own sometime.
I was like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. Next, we get Heath Slater and Rhino. This is what we were talking about. Rhino, actually, after the match went 1 minute and 15 seconds, Rhino retires during the commercial break. We'll talk about Rhino in the future when we're not so cramped for time like we are this morning. Hate to see Rhino go, but it's probably time. He's getting up there in age, so.
And Heath needed something fresh. He's one of their best people on, you know, he's one of their best people when it comes to like comedy, on-screen comedy. So I think they're about to add a lot there.
Sweet. Yeah, I would love to see Heath Slater be able to get a bigger role because he just loves being a part of the WWE universe. Like, he really does. If you ever hear him talk and stuff, like, he's just super happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so more
definitely.
Power to him. Next, we get Finn Balor versus Jinder Mahal. Finn Balor beats Jinder via pin. That goes 7.5 minutes. I didn't think this was a horrible match. I thought it was kind of fun. I'm a pretty big Jinder Mahal apologist, so did you have any problems with the match?
I did not have any problems with the match. I thought it was solid work style, and he lost like he's supposed to do.
Right, right. Drew McIntyre attacks Finn Balor backstage. Man, and for some reason, randomly, I just thought Finn Balor sold him getting knocked out and being, like, semi-conscious with his eyes open for, like, a minute straight. I thought he sold that perfectly. I don't know if you even noticed that, but for some reason, he just looked perfect in that position. Like, I was just like, man, he sold that perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you. He did sell that really well. I didn't notice it at the time, but now that I'm, like, visualizing it as I went back. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he was just, like, laying there on his back, and his, like, arms were stiff and, you know, like, kind of straight. And he was, like, you could tell he was, like, trying to shake it off, and he, like, increased his breath. Like, I just thought it looked like a boxer that got knocked out, and it was, like, a TKO. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was good. We get the Lars Sullivan video package. He still hasn't said if he's going to Raw or SmackDown. I think he's going to make a pretty cool impact no matter where he goes. Can't wait for that. Finally, we get Ronda Rousey versus Ember Moon and taking on Tamina versus Nia Jax. Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon defeat Tamina and Nia Jax in 7.5 minutes. Ember Moon hits Total Eclipse?
Yeah, it's just the Eclipse.
Oh, the Eclipse. She hits the Eclipse off the top turnbuckle to Tamina, and then Ronda Rousey puts her in the armbar for the submission.
Yeah.
And I will say that everything that I read, this was pretty much the consensus on what I read about the match. And that was, and I watched the match. I'm just saying that, like, you know, when I was reading reviews and stuff. Ember Moon and Ronda Rousey looked good, but Nia Jax and particularly Tamina looked horrible. Would you agree, disagree, kind of agree? What would you think about that?
Honestly, I saw the match.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying really close attention. I didn't think they did anything egregious.
Yeah.
They are slow plotting wrestlers, and people don't like slow plotting wrestlers.
Yeah. It's a good
point. That's what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't move fast. They do the strikes. They do the Samoan drops. They pretty much have their five moves that they do, and it's like who Nia is. I'm like, when people say Nia's horrible, I'm like, you know, if she goes hard and she hurts people, she's unsafe. If she doesn't go hard so she doesn't hurt people, she's horrible. And I'm just like,
that's good.
I mean, she can't win for losing. Tamina, people have just decided she sucks. Yeah. You know, after 12 years. I don't know. I mean, she's a good wrestler as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, I didn't see anything especially bad. Nothing stuck out to me as far as bad.
Yeah. There was one point when Tamina and Ronda Rousey were having Ronda Rousey was doing her body shots mixed in with like right and left hooks to the head little spot, and Tamina kind of looked kind of shitty selling that. But other than that, I mean, I didn't think it was the worst match ever. We are almost out of time. That is it for Raw. Floyd, tell us where you spend your weekends at, my man.
Quickly, Facebook, Twitter. It's Around the Ring Okay. Every Sunday at noon, me and Ryan drop a show. And definitely, that's it.
That's it, dude. Great show. Everyone go check out Around the Ring. Check it out on Twitter and Instagram, Around the Ring Okay. Follow us at Fox the Podcaster, at IWR Daily. Floyd, as always, love doing the show with you. Can't wait to be back tomorrow to do SmackDown with you. Thank you for everyone tuning in to hear me and Floyd give our opinions on wrestling every single morning. Thank you to the Chair Shot for giving us an outlet to do a show 5 days a week. For Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?